Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, screens are everywhere, and while, you know, they're not bad or wrong as a tool, the way we engage them and what we allow them to show us can be negative. So how can we build better screen time for ourselves and our families? Well, I'm excited to have our guest, Andrea Davis, on the program today. She is the founder and CEO of Better Screen Time, which provides strategies and resources for families to really think through how to engage technology and screens for better health and balance in life and relationships. In the program, Andrea shares her own story as a parent of five kids and some of the challenges and victories that they've experienced in working out these strategies in their own family. And she also shares things like why, you know, cell phone contracts rarely work and some better strategies for creating what she calls a family tech plan to learn personal responsibility around technology. So to learn more about Andrea and the resources that she provides, you can visit betterscreentime.com. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org, or you can check out links in today's show notes. And friends, we'd love it if you would rate and review the program after listening, because this really does help others to find it. Pure Sex Radio is produced by Be Broken, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. So let's dive into today's great conversation with Andrea. Well, all right, Andrea Davis, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So our paths sort of crossed because of the fact that we have John Fort on our staff as our director of training and really kind of the one who oversees all of our family care ministry. And I guess you guys had connected. And anyway, there's this kind of little club that starts happening in this space of ministry because there's not a whole lot of us actually that are doing this kind of ministry, dealing with all kinds of issues of sexual brokenness and all of that. But I would love our audience to be able to just get to know you a little bit. And if you could share a little bit of the backstory of how you got into the work that you're doing now and trying to help families navigate sort of the digital chaos in our world today.
Yes. So first and foremost, I'm a mother of five. My oldest, I just took to college about a month ago, and my youngest is nine. So we span the ages there. I have four girls and one boy. Married. My husband Tyler is a software engineer, and we live in Oregon. And really, this journey started when we moved from, we used to live in Illinois. We had a big cross-country move from Illinois to Oregon. And at the time, our oldest child was 12 years old. And she was the ultimate oldest child, like super responsible, the kind of kid that cleans her room without being asked. And we handed over a smartphone to her, an abandoned smartphone, so that she could stay in touch with these friends that we'd left behind because they were all getting phones, and so that we could get a hold of her in this place where we didn't know anyone. Well, fast forward a few months later, and I remember my daughter coming home from school, and she was having her after-school snack. She was spooning her cereal into her mouth with one hand, and she was doing this, scrolling with the other, and not talking to me. And it used to be one of those moments when we would have a, like, how was your day? And one of those connection moments. And I could see that this device really was getting in the middle of that. Well, fast forward a few months after that, I was scrolling on my own phone and came across a social media post for my daughter. And she was lip syncing the words to a song and had her hand to her head like this, like she was singing about a Glock. And that definitely gave a mental trigger inside of me and set something off where I realized I'd failed her. I had given her too much too soon, and that we really needed to hit the reset button. So we did. We went back to a brick phone, which was really all that was available at the time. And there were a lot of tears. It was very challenging, but I thought in that moment, I just thought parents need more warnings. They need more help, because as I then dove into the research on the topic, a lot of the information was very fear-based, and I started parenting from that place of fear. And I quickly learned that that wasn't helpful either. And so there had to be this space where parents felt like, yes, we'll use technology as a tool, but when the time is right, and that we can teach our kids and we can take this very slowly. So that kind of became my mission, to help parents take the slow tech approach and to worry less about tech and connect more with their kids.
Yeah, that's so good. So let's talk a little bit just about kind of the landscape that parents are facing in the culture today regarding things, technology, and really especially around the issues of sex and sexuality. What are you seeing that are kind of the most prevalent challenges and maybe even questions that parents are having around just the current landscape of technology in our world today?
I think one of the trickiest things is social media itself. And that's simply because it's very largely unregulated. And so, you know, we might think, okay, well, it says that 13 and up can use this app, but we know that that age is based on laws that were made years and years ago before these social media platforms even existed. And that, I think that's what's scary for parents, and is knowing that the type of content that our kids might be seeing, especially on social media and just online in general, is not very regulated, and that we have very little control over that aspect. And so I think another concern is just that our kids obviously are being influenced by that. And there's no way that they cannot be in shaping their choices. And it's such a pivotal age when our kids are just figuring out who they are, especially at that adolescent age. And so they are very influenced by what other people are doing. And we want them, rather than making those choices and decisions based on, you know, what maybe influencers are saying or what they're seeing on TikTok or what their friends are saying on Snapchat, we instead, obviously, we want them to figure out who they are from within. And obviously, getting that divine help, looking for help from above of figuring out who they are. And obviously, as a family, we want to be able to share our own values, and we want our values to be stronger than those of the world. And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges that parents face, is that technology is an amazing tool. It can be used for good, but we really have to take a measured and slow approach, because our kids are so easily influenced because of just the stages of development. And I always tell parents, you know, I love the science of the brain and looking at, so that prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that's responsible for decision-making, that's kind of like our brakes, you know, that's not fully in place for our kids and isn't fully in place until we're in our mid-20s. And so really asking a lot of our kids, as we might hand over a device that is really just showing them the world, and then not only is the brain under construction, but they're dealing with persuasive design, which is design to keep them hooked and connected, right? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the challenges that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think tack on top of that then there are actually, you know, pornographers that are also having kind of a predatory attitude in that, because they know they can leverage these platforms in order to then try to sort of trick kids into getting hooked on porn. I saw a stat, this was years ago, but I don't think it's probably so, you know, different today. Maybe even the time frame is shortened a little bit, but that first time exposure to pornography is around 10 or 11 years old. But first time that a man would seek help for a pornography addiction was 35 years old.
Oh, wow.
So there's this sense in which I think even pornographers know, from a marketing standpoint or a business standpoint, if I get a customer at 11 or 12, I've got them for 25 years.
Yes.
And so I think neither one of us are saying any of these kinds of things because of trying to create fear, right? In the parents. We're going to hang in there, parents. We're going to get some good stuff that is not fear-based, but it's important to know the truth, right, about what you're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. And just understanding too that there are a lot of essentially dark forces on the other side of that screen that are trying to pull our kids in. So like online predators, predators used to hang out at the park. We told our kids not to talk to strangers, but now it's like, okay, don't talk to strangers online, because there really are, you know, sextortion is a real thing. They're trying to get nudes of kids and really trying to do whatever they can to get images or get information from children so they can exploit them. And that part is, you know, very frightening for sure.
So before we get to some of the positive strategies, or maybe some of the ways that this is probably the healthiest way to navigate this. Can you share with us a little bit about some things that maybe you've seen, or maybe that you even did yourself, where you were like, this was not the best strategy. This is not the best way to go about addressing these topics with our kids.
Yeah, well, I think initially, first of all, is just obviously handing over a device before you've done your homework. And that is definitely the camp that I landed in, which is surprising because we were the family that kept our TV in the closet, and we don't even have a TV now, which, you know, isn't saying much because of portable devices, but we were very mindful of the screen time that our kids had. And I think it starts to get tricky for parents when we've taken our landlines away and then our kids still have that need to connect and communicate with their peers, just like we always have. And so then what do we do? So I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls, is just handing over too much too soon without preparing our kids, without having the conversations, without really understanding parental controls, you know, without making sure our kids are really ready. That's a big pitfall. I think in addition to that, we've really relied a lot on just parental controls and things like cell phone contracts. So I think that when phones started becoming a thing and parents were trying to figure out how to navigate it, the simple solution seemed to be, I will just write down all the rules that my kids should follow through with, and I will have my kids sign this, and then, you know, we should be good to go. But that, again, is really not fully understanding that our kids aren't going to have a complete understanding of really what a contract is. And I think it's a lot to ask for a developing child to say, I will never do these things.
I have to interrupt for just a second, because I'm thinking, you know, you mentioned earlier about the prefrontal cortex, right? And that it's not even fully developed till you're about 25. So just think about the illogical nature of saying, I'm going to expect a 14-year-old to abide by a contract.
Yes. I
mean, think of applying that to any other aspect of their lives. How well do 14-year-olds respond to legal documents or whatever, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then, you know, what will happen is they'll sign it because they want the phone, right? But then you're automatically like pitting yourself against each other, because there's no way they're not going to never break one of those rules, because quite often those contracts just really have a lot of rules on them that even as adults, some of us couldn't follow. And so I think that was, and so I don't, if anyone's listening and you've done a tech contract or a cell phone contract, I definitely don't want you to feel bad about that, or there, you know, there could be things that ways that it's helped you. But I think a better solution is to gradually teach our kids, not give them more access than they're ready for. And then when the time is ready, really having a conversation about their values. And this is something we've done with our teens as they've gotten older, is we kind of sit down and we just say, okay, really, what are your top five values? If you know, here's a list, what would you say is most important to you? And then we talk about living those values both offline and online, that like we're the same person, whether we have, you know, we're chatting on our phone or we're talking face to face. And I think that's really powerful, just to kind of make this individual plan with your kids. Like, how are we going to use tech? Number one, as a family. And then number two, like individually. That's something just that's worked really well for us.
Well, I think I love the integrity element that you're bringing into that, because there is a sense in which when, especially when you mentioned social media earlier, right? Wow, there is such a strong pull. I don't care what age you are actually, but even more so for kids, there's such a strong pull to present yourself as something other than what you actually are, or communicate about yourself in ways that are just not true. And so the idea that you're saying, no, we want to train where, whether you are on a device or you are in person, you're the same person. You're not trying to be like divided. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Just the idea of just integrity in general, and how important that is for parents to be training their kids in that, and how do you go about doing that? Not just around screens, but just in life.
Yeah, I think it happens in just everyday conversations that we have. And as parents, we can share examples or stories from our own lives where we've made a choice that maybe we wish we hadn't, or we made the right choice. And I think that helps our kids see that we're human, that we've had to overcome things and learn things. And I think also just sharing stories and examples, you know, if you're a faith-based family, obviously using scripture is a very helpful tool. And I think just for us, it's just been multiple conversations. And I think spending time together as a family, because really that's part of it, is building that relationship, right, with our kids, and that relationship of trust, so that when we do run into things online, that we feel like, hey, we've talked about this as a family, and I know I'm not going to be in trouble if I go tell mom or dad that I saw this, whether I looked for it on purpose or whether I saw it on accident, that I can go and have that conversation with my parents. I think that's helpful.
Let's pause there for just a second, because I can imagine that as soon as you said that you won't be in trouble for telling us about this, I'm sure some parents went, wait a second, no, they're totally in trouble. They need to be in trouble for like looking at something they shouldn't be looking at. Can you talk about why what you just said is so important in the building of trust?
Yeah, well, really, because we don't want our kids to feel shame as in that they are a bad person. And I think that's talking about that difference even with your kids, of like feeling some guilt that maybe we've done something that's contrary to our beliefs or our values. That's good for us, right? Because that makes us want to do better and be a better person. But when we start to feel shame, as in I am a bad person because I did something wrong, then if our kids don't feel like, if any of us feel like we can't go tell someone about it, then that shame just tends to get buried layer upon layer, right? And then we start to feel even worse about ourselves. And then we might even go looking for pornography again, or whatever those acts we're doing online, or those habits that we're forming. We're just starting to feel worse and worse about ourselves, which isn't helpful, right?
Yeah. So I want to kind of take a little bit of the 30,000 foot view and then kind of get down into the weeds a little bit more. But just in general, where do parents need to start? Now, I'm recognizing that I'm sure there's a lot of the parents that are listening. They're in the middle of it. They're in the thick of it. And we'll get there. But if you had to just sort of start with a clean slate, hey, I've got this couple that's pregnant with their first child, and we can sort of map this out for a family of like, how do you go about doing this from birth to adulthood? Where would you start? What are the key things that you would want to have in place? And how do you go about, you know, raising your children with this idea of integrity and dealing with technology in a wise way?
Yeah, I think it really starts with creating a family tech plan. And even if you don't have kids, sitting down with your spouse or your partner and just deciding how you're going to use technology. And, you know, when we sat down with our kids to create a family tech plan, because again, this was years down the road when some of us, you know, got into this because phones weren't a thing when I had my older kids were little. Really, one of the first things the kid said was just, well, mom, you take your phone and your screen into your laptop into the bedroom. And I was like, you're right. And that was over 5 years ago. And I committed to my kids at that time that I wasn't going to anymore. And I haven't. And it's amazing just like the benefits that I've seen in my life, just the rest, the reconnection with my spouse, you know, reconnection with a higher power, all of those things that have been real benefits. And so I can now share that with my kids. But I think if, you know, someone's just starting out and they don't even have kids, I think as a couple, you can make a decision like, what role do you want your phone to play in your life? Because it really does start with modeling for your kids. And I've gotten into the habit of leaving my phone home on date night. So we do date night on Saturday night. And I could see that it was even sometimes interfering, just, you'd think, oh, I'm just going to check this one thing, or I'm just going to take a picture. And so my husband is less distracted by his phone. It's not that way for everyone, but that's how it works in our marriage. And so we bring his along in case, you know, the teens need to get a hold of us if they're babysitting or we want to take a picture. But I think just being honest with yourself, like, what are some ways that I can improve before I even, you know, bring kids into our home?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit. How important is it that there be a like a modeling of how to go about doing this by the parents, rather than kind of almost creating double standards? Because I mean, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a, you know, kind of a generation where there was very much double standards. Like, parents can do this, and they have expectations on their kids that are completely different than the parents. And I know for me, that was confusing. I was like, we're both humans. We're just different ages. Like, why is that okay for you, but not okay for me, you know? And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think people feel differently about this. You know, there's all different opinions, but really, I think there's just so much power when you can take a team approach in a family. And so when my kids could see that I was modeling that, then as they became teenagers, that expectation was just so much easier. I kind of liken it to if you take your shoes off when you go into the home, or there's kind of certain things that you do in certain houses. And I think just the power of modeling that and being an example is so, so powerful. It becomes especially important when your kids become teenagers. And that's kind of what I want to highlight, because I think when your kids are young, you can kind of get away with a lot, do whatever you want with your phone, but it is impacting your relationship for sure with your kids if it is a huge distraction. And while they may not call you out on it because of their age, they're going to feel that and sense that like, okay, well, my mom's phone is more important than me right now, or the conversation I want to have. And so even though they might not say at a young age, they can feel that, they can sense that. And that's that time when we are building that relationship of trust with our kids, so that when they are teenagers, they're like, oh yeah, well, I know my mom, she puts her phone in the charging station at night. And so when you tell your teens that rule, they're like, okay, yeah, this is how it is. It's helpful.
You know, one of the things that I like that is sort of just already woven into everything that you've been talking about here is you have a positive attitude toward technology. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think sometimes people make it like they look at a device and they make the device itself either good or evil. Can you talk about just the goodness of technology and what you're actually trying to sort of bifurcate and fight against around those things?
Yeah, well, when we created our family tech plan, before we even decided on, you know, where, when, what, how long we were going to use devices, we actually just had a conversation where we got out the poster board and we drew a thumbs up on one side and we drew a thumbs down on the other and just put, you know, a line down the middle. And I asked the kids, what are all the things that you love about tech? And we made a long list. And then I said, okay, thumbs down. What are the things we need to watch out for? Again, like long list. And I totally encourage your listeners to do this with their kids. Mm-hmm. And right from the get-go, you are giving your kids this opportunity to develop that skill of discernment. And discernment is a skill to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong and good and bad. And I think it's so powerful because you are letting them know that technology isn't necessarily good or bad. It has power for both. It depends on how we use it, right? And so I think having that conversation with your kids is really powerful, letting them tell you what's good about tech, what's bad about tech. And obviously, you know, tech is incredible. And so I think it is hard, because I spend a lot of time telling people to get off their devices. That is kind of one of my main focuses. But at the same time, there are so many good uses of tech. And so I think just making sure that is part of the dialogue in the home, so that your kids don't feel like you are always demonizing tech.
Yeah. So can you talk about a little bit of what are the key components of a family creating a tech plan, and how is that different from like a phone contract?
Yeah. So the biggest difference is that it's not the parents just laying down the rules. It is instead a collaborative approach where you're bringing your whole family together. And when we first did this, you know, we had all five of our kids. I think our youngest was three. And so obviously she wasn't really contributing. She was doing Legos on the floor, but she was there with us. She was like part of the family. And then by that point, I did have one teenager who was not super thrilled to be there or to be part of the conversation. And, you know, I just was like, we're just going to roll with it because this is a conversation we need to have. And so we got out our poster board, and I tell families, like, you don't have to be that formal. If you wanted to sit around the kitchen table with a piece of paper and some ice cream, that's great. But really just talking about, where are we going to use screens? What are we going to do on them? You know, when will we use them and for how long? And I think that's really powerful to let your kids kind of throw out some ideas. And it doesn't mean that you have to necessarily adopt all of those ideas, but just hear everybody out. And, you know, one of the things that I did share that I mentioned earlier was that we were only going to use screens in shared spaces. And I know that that's so challenging for families now, because it used to be the idea was you had your desktop computer and it was in an open area or an office that was accessible with an open door. And now we have all these portable devices and we have the internet, which has completely changed things. And so as a family, we have to make those decisions together that we're going to commit to not taking devices in the bedrooms and bathrooms. And I honestly think that's one of the top things I would tell families to try to implement and do, because it really will safeguard your kids in so many ways, and you too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So talk to the parents out there that are just like, they've got their head in their hands right now and they're going, I have messed up in so many ways on how to go about this. They're feeling that kind of the weight of failure. Can you just try to give some encouragement to those parents who are saying, I don't know if we can start over again. I don't know how to go from where we are right now.
Yeah, well, I always say it's never too early to prepare and it's never too late to turn things around. And I truly believe that. And hopefully, you know, they've heard my story at the beginning where we did go back to a brick phone, and it was hard and it wasn't fun. But I've honestly heard from so many parents since I started doing this for the past 5 years of like, I didn't think that we could, you know, take a step back, whatever that step was. And it's been different for different families, but it's always so encouraging when they commit to it and really work on building. I would say the top thing is to build the relationship with your kids. So even if anyone's tech use is just totally out of control, do whatever you can to build the relationship, because it's that connection piece that matters most, right? And that's the thing that's going to eventually kind of help your kids maybe see your point of view and for you to see their point of view. And doing whatever you can to take some time to connect and put your devices aside. So like, hey, let's go get ice cream, or let's go ride bikes, and leaving your own phone at home, and even like voicing that to your kids, or if it's a teenager, like, let's go run some errands. I'm going to leave my phone here. Let's leave our phones here, you know? And I think making it more of kind of a fun challenge that we're doing together is really helpful. And obviously, like, if it's your child or teen is really feeling stuck and in a trap, whether that's gaming or pornography or sucked into social media, and like, there's obviously so many things they could be sucked into, you know, not being afraid to get some outside help if they really are struggling, whether that's from a therapist or a school counselor or someone else, because it really is something that can easily suck our kids in. But not giving up, I think, is key.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, you mentioned ice cream twice, and I'm thinking if there's any kids listening right now, they're going to be like tugging on their parents saying, let's do that. If we're not going to do screen time, let's do ice cream. So I think that's always a good alternative. And one last thing I want to ask you before we kind of start landing the plane here is, you know, you talk about kind of introducing tech slowly and maybe in stages. Can you talk about maybe some key things to look for to say, is my child ready for whatever maybe the next stage of tech, you know, accessibility is?
Yeah. So we, after going through this and getting it wrong the first time, we came up with a self-evaluation that parents can download at Better Screen Time. And it's just called, Am I Ready for a Personal Device? And how we came up with this is we actually sat our kids down and we asked them two questions. I said, what does it mean to be responsible? And they were like, oh, that means you get up for school on time on your own and you do your homework without being asked and you do your chores, and kind of made this long list. And then my second question was, what does it mean to be emotionally mature? And that's a little bit more to unpack, but they kind of got it. They're like, okay, that means you're kind to your siblings. It means that you don't throw a fit when things don't go your way. And so we made this list. And when we got to the end, I was like, right. And those are all the things that a person needs to do before they're ready for their own phone. And my kids were like, oh. But what we did is that we then turned that into a self-evaluation so parents can print that out and actually give it to their child when their child's starting to ask, and they can evaluate themselves and just see, like, how am I doing on these things? And I think parents will find, and parents have found as they've used this, that it takes a very responsible, emotionally mature person to really be ready for a device. And so we kind of use that as like our guidepost to kind of help us as we go from one step to the next, and just taking it very slowly, seeing how they're doing with the responsibility that they've been given. And I always tell families, like, start with a family device that's just shared. It's not anyone's. It's, you know, it belongs to the family. And I think that's a really great way to start to gauge how well your kids can handle that responsibility.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, Andrea, what are some just final words of encouragement and hope that you might give to the parents out there? And then where can they get more information about you and your resources?
Yeah, I think, again, just realizing that, you know, if you're getting ahead of the game, it really isn't too early to prepare to start on your own tech habits. And if you feel like you've messed up, it's not too late to turn things around. And I think really just understanding that we kind of want to go from this place of feeling worried and scared and panicked about screen time to feeling calm and confident. And that's, it's a journey, right? It takes time. And with each child, we're learning as we go. And I think also just giving yourself some grace, because parents haven't ever done this before. We're all navigating this together. None of us is going to do it perfectly. You know, I for sure I'm not doing it perfectly, but we do at least have a lot of research now. We have a lot of parents who have been through this over the past 5 years, which is why I'm doing this. And so just, you know, take some heart that there are people and resources to help guide you and that you can do this. And we are at betterscreentime.com. Ironically, you can find me on Instagram as Better Screen Time. And then we have a great email list that you can find. If you go to our website, you can join our email list. And that's a great place to get tips and additional help too.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so glad you mentioned that about grace, because I had a good friend and mentor of mine many years ago gave me a perspective on that, where he said, you know, you've never actually been in today before. So you've never been exactly this age at exactly the same point in any of your relationships. Every new day is like, it's truly new.
Oh, wow.
So he was trying to give me a perspective of like, so give yourself some grace, man. You've never been here before.
Yes. I love that.
I try to do that every single day. I'm like, you're right. I've never been here. I've never been exactly this age. I've never had exactly this point in time with my relationship. So,
so true.
But Andrea, thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for being with us today. I think it was a great conversation, and we look forward to sending people your way.
Thank you, Jonathan. It was my pleasure.
Yeah. So listeners, we're going to put all of that information in the show notes about Andrea's ministry and her resources and everything. And parents, have courage. You're the best resource for your child. Don't think any differently than that. So we want to help you take your next best step. Please reach out to us if you have questions. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.